Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy y'all, Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 20th, 2011, episode 59, sponsored by EZScienceOnline.com. Good morning, horse world.
Who let the dogs out?
There's a puppy, there's a puppy, and another little puppy. Fuzzy puppy, funny puppy, 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 poo. Puppy, puppy, jello, puppy, table stone, tomato, puppy, 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 fishy, puppy, puppy, clean up poo.
Puppy likes to chew, puppy likes to chew, puppy likes to chew. Puppy likes to chew, puppy likes to chew.
Dogs in the morning here on the Horse Radio Network. We've gone to the dogs today, Jamie.
Yeah, we sure have. And what on earth was that music, my friend? Oh, wow. I mean, I certainly know who let the dogs out because you can't go to, you know, any sort of sporting event without hearing that song. But the whole puppy poo thing, you'll have to tell me about in a little bit.
I want to clarify one thing right up front today. We had a little misunderstanding, I think, a little miscommunication with Anna Twinney, and she was posting on Facebook that we would be doing a show with her today. Actually, later on in the day, I'm recording a Stable Scoop episode with Anna, and that will come out next week. And it's one-on-one with Anna Twinney, and we're talking about, is animal communication real? So if there are any Anna fans who are listening right now, I'm sorry for the miscommunication. We will definitely be letting you know on Facebook and on her page and ours when that show, it should come out next Friday, which will be the 28th, and it'll be on the Stable Scoop radio show at stablescoop.com. So sorry for any misunderstandings there.
But don't Jennifer hang up. Has don't us, hang up. Listen. You got to listen to the whole show.
That's right. But, yeah, stay tuned because we have some unbelievable guests coming up. And that we're very excited about. We're going right to top TV stars. Jennifer, tell us about it.
Well, you're right. It is all going to the dogs today, but literally this time rather than figuratively, which is usually the way it goes. We will start with Victoria Stilwell, dog trainer extraordinaire and star of Animal Planet's It's Me or the Dog, where she helps families with naughty doggies regain control of their lives. Then we race madly into Greyhounds with John Parker, who will expound on the X-Racers and why they make such wonderful pets. Then to finish off, we'll be talking to AKC judge, breeder, and author Chris Walkowitz. Stay tuned because you're going to test your pet ability.
All right, Glenn, well, tell me where the song came from. What on earth was the whole creepy... I'm sorry, creepy little girl, like, talking about the puppy poo.
Well, I thought that you would probably comment on that, so here's the whole thing.
Here's a puppy, there's a puppy, and another little puppy. Fuzzy puppy, funny puppy, 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 poo. Puppy, puppy, jello, puppy, table stone, tomato, puppy, 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 fishy, puppy, puppy, clean up poo. I once had a doghouse, I lived in a lake, but I never saw the way the dragon slayed the cake. I was only 4 years old, but I told a lie, and now listen, little kid, and I'll tell you why. Did you ever see a puppy kiss a puppy, bite a puppy? Poppy's puppy, muddy puppy, 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 poo. Half a puppy, twice a puppy, not a puppy, spotted puppy. Driving puppy, angry puppy, 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 poo. Is it how it goes now? Isn't this that odd? is Puppy Puppy Cod. Now my song is getting weird, so it's time to go. Hope you like my puppy song. Please say yes, not no.
What on earth was that? It was like Benjamin Button was singing a song about being What on earth?
It was a song just called The Puppy Song by Lady Gammer. I don't know who that is. On YouTube, and apparently it was her. She's an adult woman, and she sped it up and made it a few octaves different so that she would sound like a little kid. And I don't know if that's a nursery rhyme. I don't know if you guys had ever heard it or not, but I just thought it was funny as heck, Puppy Puppy Poo. And it made me think of you because of the new puppies, and I figured that they were pooing everywhere they weren't supposed to be. So it made me think of you.
But I lived in the lake, and the tomato looks like a puppy, and I don't even know where you find this stuff. It's impressive. Your master YouTube and Google ability is incredible.
Well, we're going to have Victoria Stilwell on with us very shortly here, TV star extraordinaire, and I'm sure that you have some questions to ask her. And then, you know, as Jennifer said, we were talking greyhounds today. Of course, we're big greyhound lovers here at the Glenn the Geek household. And then a very interesting thing, and I think it's too late for you, with Chris Walkowitz and talking about her book, Choosing a Dog for Dummies, because you've already chose the dog, so you're stuck now.
There's no backing out now. But we actually did a lot of research and did some research on the breeder and everything. So it'll be interesting to see if we did the right thing or not, because we didn't just go select a dog. Actually, my husband did a lot of research trying to see that the breed would mingle with our lifestyle and which breeds would and which breeds wouldn't, and he searched for months. So I'm pretty sure he did it the right way, but we will find out, I guess, today. We'd also love to take y'all's calls about your dogs, 347-637-3238. Because we want to hear about, you know, where'd you get your dog? Do you have an awesome barn dog you want to tell us about? Please don't hesitate to give us a call. And also, when Victoria Stilwell, again, she's like the Caesar Milan of Animal Planet too. Like, both of them have their own shows, and she is the It's Me or the Dog. So she's the English lady that comes in and tells you basically, you know, what an idiot you are in raising your dog. So she's going to be on the show with us. And please, you know, you can call and ask her questions as well.
Well, it's going to be so much fun today. You know, and the reason we're doing dogs on a horse show is because almost all horse people have dogs. We've all had dogs. We've all had dogs. It's just a thing. You have a horse and a barn, you have to have a dog, or two, or three, or five. So, you know, that's why we thought every occasionally we talk about dogs, because they're such a big part of our lives. And maybe we'll do a cat show someday, too, because obviously, you know, cats are an important part of a barn as well. And, you know, not only do they have a cute, cuddly function, but they also have a very serious function of keeping the rats and mice out of your feed room. So, but today it's about the dogs. You know, I'm also a believer that you have your lifetime dog like you can have your lifetime horse. And I think I had my lifetime dog, which we'll talk about here. And I know that Jennifer has too. Jennifer, would you say that your lifetime dog was Houlihan?
Yes, because she was the most undog-like dog ever.
Yeah, she was an incredible... Tell everybody about Houlihan. She was the most incredible farm dog in history.
She was the perfect, farm dog. Mongrel. She was crazy mixed up breeding. Came from the doggy shelter. I inherited her by way of a sibling who was unable to take her along when he moved out. And she came to the farm when we bought our farm. And she was a really independent dog, had a lot of Dalmatian in her, we're thinking. And from the first day we had her, she refused to come in the house. Just, nope, not doing it. Hung out with the horses. You'd come home late at night. We'd shine our lights out in the pasture to count noses to make sure the horses were there. She was invariably sleeping amongst them. She never made any effort to herd them. She just wanted to be with them. Couldn't teach that dog a thing. She couldn't so much as come to her name when called. But when it came to being the farm dog, she was right there at the farm hanging out with the horses. Never went anywhere. Well, she went hunting sojourns, but she never really went anywhere. She was an awesome farm dog and very undog-like. She wanted to be with the horses, not the people. Which
sounds like
she's
a farm dog.
Yeah, she was perfect farm dog. And she would guard the horses and what she would do. And if anything got near the field, she would chase it. Well, and we always say she's the only dog that we ever owned that got her own deer. She actually ran a deer through one of our fence lines and it got hung up there. I don't know if she killed it or what, but she was a dog that would go hunting all the time, and she didn't like foreigners or strange things on her farm. It was her farm. And it was the weirdest thing, even to when she got really, really old, she did not want to come in the house. We finally made her come in the house. She would just stand at the door and look at you. She would not come in the house. I don't care what the weather was. She did not want to be in the house. And you know, I've never, ever met another dog that didn't want to be in the house. She didn't want any parts of it.
Remember we got her the little doggy jammies, little coat, you know? She was so embarrassed by her doggy jammies, she didn't just take them off. She took them off and buried them.
Yeah, she was buried.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That's awesome.
She did
what
get
I think
one
about your stupid clothes.
That's right. She did get away on us once, and she just took off one night, and we didn't see her for days, and we thought, oh, this is it. You know, it's the end of our dog. And we got a call, about a week later, and this was the middle of winter. It was freezing cold out in snow, and she apparently had got caught in a bear trap. And the guy who was doing the hunting or whatever, you know, the one of those foot traps, found her and figured out whose dog it was and called us, and we went and got her back and took her a while to recover, but she recovered from that. So, you know, she was one hearty little dog.
My gosh,
have you
I'm
had
sorry,
yours
but
yet, Jamie?
let me comment on yours, because your description of the dog wouldn't come, the dog didn't like us, the dog wouldn't come in the house, the dog would run away and get caught in bear traps, that to me does not sound like a great dog in like the conventional sense at all. But I guess for you guys, that was exactly what you wanted at that time. I mean, did you cause more heartache?
No,
than,
she wasn't needy, she didn't bark. She didn't cause a fuss when visitors came. She'd say, hi, how you doing? See you later. Like I said, she was very undog-like in the traditional sense, and because
she's
I'm more
cat.
Of a cat person than a dog person.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. She was awesome.
That's funny, because you guys like dogs that act like cats, and I like cats that act like dogs.
Well, there we go.
I want them to lick me, jump in my lap, cuddle with me, you know, and you're like, our dog was so much like a cat. We loved it. Well, as far as having the lifetime dog, oh, gosh, I cannot choose one, because I would disrespect the other one. The dog that I have right now, Brett, the Border Collie that I have, is absolutely a phenomenal dog. Will not go more than 2 feet away from me at any time. She is a Border Collie, but her job is not herding. Her job is herding me. So she always wants to know where I am at any given time. I mean, she sits outside the bathroom when I go to the bathroom. She lays down in the arena and watches me ride. The second I get off the horse, she gets so excited, like, you made it! You're here! So she's an awesome, awesome dog, lifetime dog. And then I had a lifetime dog before her. My last Border Collie was phenomenal. Her name was Morgan, and unfortunately, her life was cut short by cancer, and if I talk about it too much, I'll cry, but I got that dog when I was 15 years old, and I think she took me through probably the roughest patches of my life. And, you know, while Brett is really good, Morgan was there for me in a very tough time. So at any rate, I can't pick one, because they were both so phenomenal and are phenomenal. So those are my two dogs, Brett and Morgan.
And now Boomer and Zenyatta.
Boomer and Zenyatta. They're actually doing really good. I'm shocked.
Well, are they? Are they doing good? They haven't kept you up all night?
No, they only woke me up one time last night, so we took them out at midnight. And, of course, to anybody that doesn't know, this is Boomer and Zenyatta, our two new puppies. Not one, but two, and I can't wait to talk to Victoria Stillwell about it, because I'm sure she's going to give me some great advice, and we actually have her on the line right now. And I would like to introduce you guys. I say introduce, but everybody knows who she is. She's born and raised in England. Victoria is the world's most recognized and one of the most respected dog trainers. And she's also best known for her role as the host of the Animal Planet hit TV series, It's Me or the Dog. Good morning, Victoria. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for being a part of Horses in the Morning, but I should say Dogs in the Morning, because our whole entire show is dedicated to the dog. And so many people in the horse world have dogs, barn dogs, inside dogs, outside dogs, that it just seemed appropriate to do an entire show dedicated to, you know, the equine and equestrian partner, the dog. So, you know, first of all, how are things going?
They are going very well. I just finished filming my third American season. I've done 7 seasons of the show overall, 4 in Britain and 3 here. And it's now being aired on Animal Planet on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock. So it's doing really well. The first 2 episodes have just aired, so we've got another 10 to go.
And I'm not kidding you. You cannot turn on Animal Planet without seeing a rerun or a segment or a promo with you in it. But I have to ask, now that you've spent 3 seasons with Americans and 7 seasons with the Brits, who are the worst dog owners, Brits or Americans?
Hey, you know what? I think they're pretty much the same. You know, the dog problems are the same wherever. And yes, I think both Britain and America are just huge dog-loving nations. But and dog ownership is becoming even more popular, and more homes are getting pets. But because I think of the more and more people are working and pets spend a long time by themselves during the day, that there's more problems.
Right. Now, you just heard me talking a little bit about it. I just got 2 new puppies, my husband and I, and fortunately we live on a farm. We figured it was the best time to get puppies. We couldn't decide between the male or the female, so we got both. And is it a good idea to get litter mates?
You know, I would say sometimes yes, sometimes no. And the fact that you've got different sexes is good. If you got 2 females, I would be worried for the future, because 2 female siblings can fight, can have a tendency to disagree, as do human siblings. And so, but to have a male and female, I think, is a much better idea. And again, it's the way they're brought up too. It's the way that they're handled and brought up. So if they're handled and brought up in the right way, and if you live on a farm and they have plenty of exercise and plenty of social experience too, then you're going to have no problem.
So when you say they're handled in the right way, what is the best way to handle?
Well, I think it's early socialization is really, really important. I would say it's the number one thing for puppies. And the problems happen when people don't socialize. So if you live in a place where you don't get a lot of visitors or there aren't a lot of cars that go past, you have to make sure that you take your puppies to the town, to the village, to meet all kinds of different people, to go in all different kinds of environments so that nothing is new to them. But you also don't want to overload them too, so you do it very gently and so that they have pleasant experiences in a whole load of different environments with a whole load of different people. And because what happens if puppies don't get that experience, really by the time they're 16 weeks old, they can pretty much, that's the sort of time when the door closes with regards to socialization. So that's
16.
Why I say it's really, really important.
Victoria, you said that 2 little girls will have problems, may have problems, not guaranteed, but they may have problems if she had gotten 2 little girl puppies. What about 2 little boy puppies? Do they have the same issues, or are we better off?
slightly better off, I'd say, but you know, similar thing could happen. Inter-bitch rivalry is probably the most vicious, but still there can be fighting with male siblings, and there can be fighting between 2 male dogs that aren't siblings. And if you think about it, these dogs are all living together. So there are going to be fights and disagreements and jealousies and exactly, I have to say, like humans.
Well, that makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me to my next question is the socialization issues. How do you introduce new puppies to your old puppies? So many people have older dogs or dogs they've had for a long time, and, you know, they want to get a puppy to kind of revitalize the house or bring their youth into, you know, and try to get the older dogs a little more excited. What is the best way to do that, or do you not recommend it?
Well, no. I mean, I do. But if you've got a very, very old dog, then you've got to realize that bringing a new puppy is going to be irritating for that older dog. And the older dog just wants to sort of hang out and sleep, and then they've got the puppy jumping all over it. So space is the most important thing. If you're going to bring a younger dog into an older dog's space, or even if they're the same age, giving those dogs a little bit of time apart from each other is important. Spending one-on-one time with each dog is also important, so you don't neglect the older dog for the new dog. And also doing obedience training with both dogs in each other's presence. And it's amazing, if you have a well-trained older dog, your puppy can learn from that older dog just by watching.
Oh, yes. I have actually discovered that, because we have a little baby gate in our kitchen, and our older dog, the female border collie, walked up to it, hopped right over it, and went into the living room. And the puppy sat there and watched and watched and watched, and then walked up, ran into the gate, and just splat up against it. But she never would have tried it had she not seen the older dog do it. So it is absolutely true. They watch and learn, and I'm hoping they learn some good stuff, maybe not just, you know, trying to escape. But, you know, what is the best way that you think, Victoria? Of course, we're talking to Victoria Stillwell from Animal Planet's hit series, It's Me or the Dog. What do you think is the best approach to potty training?
Is patience, patience, patience. I just got an email from somebody saying, my six-week-old puppy is toileting all over the house, should be house-trained. 6 weeks old, for goodness sake. It takes a good, I would say, 6 weeks of no accidents in the home, and you know that your puppy's toilet-trained. And really, what you need to do is that it's almost like you are dealing with a baby with no diapers on. So you have to be smart. First of all, you don't allow puppies access to the house just, you know, for them to have accidents all over the home. So you keep them in a safe zone, in an area where they can be left alone and toilet if needs be, if they need to, if you have to go out and you can't be home every hour to let them out. But if you are home, you let those puppies outside every single hour. And also, you look for times that they're going to need to toilet probably more than others, in the morning, when they wake up from a nap, during the day, just after they've eaten, if they've had vigorous play, if you've just done a training session with them. All of these things will encourage your pup to eliminate. So you just have to be really, really consistent throughout the day. And to realize, general rule of thumb, a puppy can hold it for an hour of every month of age they are. Now, every dog is different.
Ooh.
So, you're hoping around sort of, if a puppy's 8 weeks old, it's going to be able to hold it for 2 hours, but that's really at rest. Any kind of playtime could shorten that time. So it just takes a lot of patience and understanding.
That works about the same with me, actually. Victoria, I have a couple of questions for you. And by the way, Jamie, if it gives you any confidence at all, we had my lifetime dog, a little dog named Jake, was probably one of the ugliest little dogs you've ever seen, but I love that dog. And it took us a year to get that dog house trained. But, you know, after a year, we finally did. I wanted to ask you two questions. One is, have you run into horse people or horse farms or dogs with issues on horse farms in your show?
You know, we haven't. We haven't really done it. I mean, I used to ride horses a lot when I was little. We used to do horse share because we lived in Wimbledon, which is just on the south of London. It's very expensive to keep a horse, so maybe three families would own one horse. And so, you know, I grew up riding and doing a competition. And we used to have a lot of dogs that would run around the barn where we were, but really on the show we haven't come across anything like that.
Well, you know, come on, people, okay. Submit your videos. Get on the show with your horses.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I have a follow-up question, and this comes from, you know, doing training and things on the horse side. So we see what happens on that side, and I'm sure the dog side is very similar because you're dealing with people. In 5 minutes of walking into a house, can you tell whether the people are going to be receptive and they're actually going to listen to what you have to say, or do they surprise you sometimes and they're not what you initially thought?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole mixture. Pretty much I can tell if these people are going to work at it. And also I can tell very quickly what kind of relationship they have with their dog just by how much their dog looks at them. If I go into a house and the dog doesn't look at the owner at all, I know something's up. If they look at the owner too much, then, you know, is this a good sign or is it because the dog's just very needy? I like to sort of have a happy medium where the dog will listen, but the dog doesn't always need to be by the owner's side. So yeah, I can tell a lot when I go into a home.
Oh, I would,
yeah,
imagine.
I would imagine.
Now, Victoria, this is, what is the most common, and if you could call it universal, naughtiness, human-caused issue that you have to keep repairing? Because you've seen a lot of families with a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Is there sort of a common theme throughout that you go, hello, people, you need to just wake up here?
Yeah. You know, I think it's the inconsistency. So it's normally between couples about one will allow the dog up on the sofa, but the other one will tell the dog off if the dog is on the sofa. One will allow the dog to jump up, but then the other will tell the dogs to not jump up. And we'll tell them off if they do. Or they allow the dogs to jump up on themselves, but then they tell them off when the dogs jump up on guests. It's all really confusing. And I think that's the inconsistency. I mean, dogs have a hell of a time anyway trying to adjust to our domestic living anyway. But to add inconsistency in that, and we're very inconsistent as human beings, that can really, really confuse situations. So I would say that the inconsistency, and also there's one that will be slightly softer and allow the dog to get away with behaviors or feeding it from the table, and then the other one doesn't, you know. So I think consistency is key.
Just like
that doesn't, yeah, that doesn't sound familiar at all, Victoria. I mean, you're speaking Greek to me, my husband.
We're dying here because that's the way they are. Jamie and Chad are that way. They're going to have so many issues when dealing with these two puppies. We just laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's normal.
Yeah. It is. And you just have different personalities raising different dogs. But I'm so interested listening to you talk because so much of the way that you're talking about the dogs is exactly how you train the horses. I mean, it's consistency. It is, you know, everybody being on the same page at the same time and doing the same things over and over and over again, repetition and patience. And it's so connected. Now, Victoria, it has just been awesome having you on Horses in the Morning. We have to let you go because you are out of town, but I could certainly talk to you for, you know, the rest of the show and get your aspect on dogs and opinion on dogs for the rest of the hour. So we do appreciate you being a part of the show. Everybody watch Animal Planet's television show. It's Me or the Dog, Victoria Stilwell, and it starts this Saturday at, when is the air again?
Yes, it's on Saturday nights at 8 p.m. on Animal Planet.
All right. Well, we will be there. And, of course, you've got a couple books you can read. It's Me or the Dog, How to Have the Perfect Pet, and Fat Dog Slim, How to Have a Healthy, Happy Pet. And thank you so much for the work you've done with all the shelters that you do to improve the adoptability of dogs. We're huge fans of that. So thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful week.
Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Victoria.
Bye.
Well, that was cool.
Fantastic.
Jennifer just knows how to book guests, doesn't she?
She really does. I took so many notes on that I am going to show to my husband after the show. Like, here you go. This is what we have to do. We have to have early socialization, which I am really good at because we have students and people coming and going. The old dogs and new dogs need some time apart. Dogs can hold it for 1 hour for every month of age.
Oh, that
explains the midnight.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That explains the midnight run last night, letting the dogs out. But, you know, I think that was a good information, and so many people have, you know, dogs that they have questions about. So we still want to hear from you guys about your dog, 347-637-3238. It's a dog day here on Horses in the Morning. But I have to let you know about our sponsor for this half hour. Visit our friends at ezsignsonline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options, and I'm sorry, I looked around. Unlike all the other websites, you actually get to see the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, farm entrance signs, they have your sign needs covered. That's ezsignsonline.com. Now, they have a special this week if you're looking for a fundraiser for your horse club or your next event. Sell their colorful sunset window decals as a fundraiser. There's tons of styles, great profit margins. You can make raising money fun for kids, great ideas for pony club, 4-H, your animal rescue. Just visit, you can see their wholesale website at sunsetdecals.com, but get involved through ezsignsonline.com.
Well, Jamie, you know, we, speaking of dogs, we, years ago, everybody knows that I owned an acting company, and we did medieval feasts, and we used to go, we worked at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair for a period of time. That's where Jennifer and I met. Well, they used to have a rescue group that used to come over to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, and I think still does every year, and that was the Greyhound Rescue. And sometimes you go to PetSmart, and they'll have the Greyhounds there. You know, talk about a correlation between dogs and horses. The Greyhound and the Thoroughbred, they have the same life. I mean, they're racing dogs, you know, they're racing horses. They both live that racing life. And Greyhounds, you know, they grow up in families and packs, and then they're raced. And they have it, you know, they don't always have it the best at the tracks. They're trying to clean that up. And I think they've done a good job of cleaning it up. And ever since we saw those Greyhounds at the Renaissance Fair, I said to Jennifer, I said, I really want to get a Greyhound someday. Well, the opportunity came along. We had our farm in Pennsylvania, and we just happened to go to PetSmart when they were having another Greyhound day at PetSmart, and they had brought a bunch of them in. And I said to Jennifer, we really have to look into this. So we went to a terrific group run by a lady by the name of Peggy out of Harrisburg. It's called Personalized Greyhounds. And they have adopted, I think it's almost 1,000 greyhounds now, and they've been doing it for years and years. And when you adopt a greyhound, you fill out this application, and you actually have to go through this application process, and they actually come out and visit your house. Because greyhounds are an interesting breed in that they're called the 30-mile-an-hour couch potatoes, because 99.9% of the time they are sleeping flat out. And they love couches, and they love beds, and they love chairs. They're sleeping flat out 99% of the time. And they just, but that other 1% of the time, they are running around like a nut. So they are just crazy, and that's what they do. They just tear around the house, and if you have a fenced-in backyard, it is so much fun to watch greyhounds tear around the yard. We used to have the big fenced-in fields for the horses, and we had box wire on the outside of the fencing, and so we could turn the greyhounds loose out there, and she would just tear around. It was so much fun to watch her run in the large fields. But they do that for 5 minutes, and then they're done. I mean, that's it for another week. They're done. They're going to go back and lay it around for another week. But they are the sweetest, kindest. They don't bark. Again, 99% of them don't bark, so that's kind of nice. And they're just the sweetest, kindest dog. I know. It is amazing. And they're friendly to everybody. They just want to be petted and loved, and they're crawling your lap even though they're big. You know, some greyhounds get up to 90 or 100 pounds. They can be very large, the males. Now, we had a little female named Bam Bam that we lost this past year at the age of 13, and she was the sweetest thing. And everybody loved to take – we never had a shortage of people wanting to babysit Bam Bam when we went away, because she was just that sweet kind of dog, you know. And, you know, if we get a dog again, and I know you keep bugging Jennifer about it, and I keep wanting one. I think we're going to wait till more springtime now. But it's going to be a greyhound. I will never own anything but a greyhound again. She was great around the horses and just was a terrific dog. And you said – did you tell me you babysit a greyhound?
No. I think you must.
Okay.
That might be somebody else. But I loved Greyhounds. I've only been around one of them, and it was exactly like you said, just loving, sweet, want to be pet, and they. I just couldn't believe that those dogs sleep that many hours a day.
I know they do. It's incredible how much they do sleep. And, you know, she would play a little bit, but she wasn't really, you know, she wasn't really into playing a lot. Again, they have 5 minutes a day when they're very, very active, and then they're back to, you know, they're back to sleeping again. But, you know, and there, the point I want to make, and when we get our guest on here, we have John Parker coming on, who I believe is involved with Celebrating Greyhounds magazine, and is going to talk to us about the Greyhound. And, of course, I'm already a lover of Greyhounds. We've had one for 13 years. And, you know, but I just wanted to talk to John more about how much in need they are of homes, because they have the same problems that the Thoroughbred Racing Horse does. They need adopting. They need rescued when they come off the track. And so I think we have John on here. This is John Parker. Hi, John, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
You know, we really appreciate you joining us today to talk about the plight of the Greyhound. And this is a horses show called Horses in the Morning. And I was just correlating the Greyhound's plight with the Thoroughbred Racing Horse. They're in the same boat. So talk to us a little bit about that. And you know, how many of them do get adopted after they're done racing? And what is the need?
Well, nobody really knows the percentage or the number for sure. Because there's no central clearinghouse of information. Kind of best guess right now that about 90% of them that come off from racing either get adopted or go back to the owners own them or the breeding facilities where they become breeding stock. But we're definitely winning the battle in getting most of them into homes, and we think we're within sight of 100% adoption.
Oh, wow. That's terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. The Greyhound adoption is fairly well ahead of Thoroughbred racehorse adoption in terms of, you know, when it got started in a big way. Thoroughbred racehorse adoption seems to be going pretty well now, and there's more and more, you know, as you know, organizations that are doing that. But Greyhound adoption started mid to late 80s, and so they've developed a great partnership with the racing community now. Racing supports adoption financially and otherwise, and so we're very close to 100% adoption.
Now, tell us why you think Greyhounds makes – now, I know we owned one for a very long time, and we'll never own anything but a Greyhound again. But tell in your words, why do Greyhounds – why would Greyhounds make a great pet for horse lovers and for people that are into horses?
Well, they're just nice – laid back, as you alluded to, biddable dogs that they've been raised in a structured environment. They've been raised with their litter mates and well socialized, handled all their lives, and so they kind of come to you as a finished product. In some ways, they still have some learning curve to undertake after they've left the track, because home life is different from track life. But they're just very nice, laid back companion dogs. And of course, for horse people, you know, many horse people have their own farms, their own places. They've got land, and although Greyhounds don't require a lot of land to live a happy life, that's just an added bonus for them, because they'll have open space where they can run.
And it's true. Now, is it true, you know, when we got — one of the interesting things when we adopted our Greyhound is we had to go through a Greyhound adoption class, which was about 2 hours with the adoption agency that we did, because they were very conscientious about making sure you knew about the little quirks that Greyhounds have. And I'll be darned if this Greyhound we own didn't have all the little quirks. But one
right.
of the things is they don't want you to let them off a leash. Now, I know there's certain Greyhounds that can get used to being off leashes, but for the most part, they really don't want you to let them run free, because they can do 0 to 35 miles an hour in 3 strides. They can go a long distance in a very short period of time.
That's right. Most adoption groups have a clause in their adoption contract that requires you to have them on lead, except in fenced areas. You can certainly, if a pasture or a field or a dog park, et cetera, is completely fenced, then it's fine to let them off to run. You want them to check it out, and you want them to know where the fence is and so forth. But they can be off-lead in fenced areas.
I
right.
have to ask,
right.
though.
Right, yeah, we used to do that all the time, yeah.
Yeah, that, I had no idea that you couldn't let them off the leash, but I guess that would be one of them. But what are some of the quirks? Because I've never had a greyhound, so I have no idea.
Well, they, you know, when they come to you, they've never been, most of them have never been in a house, and so they don't, they're not familiar with things like sliding glass doors. They'll try to walk through it, you know, until you get it solid. haven't been up or down stairs. And so they have to be taught how to go up and down stairs. Those are the two most common, probably, that they, you know, they've not been around those things, and so they just have to be acclimated, you know, to learning how to navigate them.
You know, we
never
got used to the stairs. Stairs were an issue for ours, and we were kind of glad because then we didn't have to worry about her coming up the steps and crawling into bed with us. So she always lived downstairs because she wouldn't do the stairs. And I guess some
right.
of them just always have a problem with stairs like that.
Yeah, you know, you will get a few, and it's just such a thing for them. They can't quite get it. Most of them get it, you know, the first couple of times, you know, with the owner, adopter helping them up and down the stairs and just kind of showing them the ropes. They're like thoroughbreds. They're very quick learners. They've got kind of a lot of natural athletic ability, and so, you know, they just put that to work, going up and down stairs. Most of them learn it. Some of them, you know, never do, or the owner just decides, I don't want to keep trying to teach them, and they're happy downstairs, so that's fine.
Yeah, we use it mostly as a defense mechanism, but you're right, they are very quick learners. If they do something you don't like and you get after them once or twice, you will never have to get after them again. They learn it that fast.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They're very biddable dogs. They're eager to please, and they're pretty quick learners about what's allowed and what's not.
And they have the biggest saddest eyes when they look at you. They just always have that big sad expression. It gets you every time.
I find that they put that to work if they want something from you. You know, they give you the pity look, and then you melt and you give them what they want.
That's how Jamie gets what she wants too. She does the same thing.
The whole fast learning thing can be a disadvantage too, and Glenn will remember this one. Early on when we got our Greyhound, she was a quick learner. If you fed her a half an hour early one day because you had an appointment to get to, the next day, guess what? You'd better feed her a half an hour early because, you know, she memorized that stuff. But some days of the week she would get very fussy and wander around the house with this gentle whimper going, and we're going, what is our dog's problem? We'd take her out. She didn't have to go to potty. You know, nothing was working. And finally, we made the connection one day. Her favorite thing to do was to sleep in front of the big picture window in our living room in the sunshine. Well, on cloudy days, she decided the reason she wasn't getting her sunshine bath was because we forgot to turn on the sunshine. And she would just
right.
go from
yeah,
person to
right.
person in the house and look at you and whimper, and then she'd go back over to where she wants to sleep and go, can you please turn the sunshine on?
Yeah. I mean, by virtue of their... you know, track life, which is very structured, very regimented, everything happens the same time every day, they come to develop routines themselves, even in the home, and they have expectations that
yeah.
if something happened at a certain time one day, it's supposed to happen at the same time the next day.
Absolutely. And one day we took her out for a walk at Christmas time, and the local fire department was coming through the neighborhood with Santa Claus on the fire trucks. Well, the fire
uh-huh.
trucks were scary for her. Well, from that point forward, you could not take her out after dark. That was it. No more. Scary truck out there.
Yeah. Some greyhounds can definitely be noise sensitive, particularly things like thunder. It's not a lot of them, but some of them are. And there's not a whole lot you can do other than just, you know, they have to just kind of get through it.
That's when sitting on the couch together is good.
John,
yeah.
I have a question for you. How did you get involved in rescuing greyhounds? You know, I know a lot of former racehorse people went on to then find homes for racehorses. You weren't involved in greyhound racing, were you? And how did you get kind of so passionate and involved?
I was actually involved with greyhounds before I was with horses. I had a client who down in Florida who had adopted one, And whenever we would talk on the telephone, she would go on and on about this greyhound she had adopted. And so I read a little bit about greyhound adoption. I always wanted a dog in my adult life. I'd had him growing up. And then my wife and I had bought a house that had a nice-sized fenced backyard, so I just decided it was time. Went into did some more research on it, and we adopted our first greyhound in 1994, and the rest is history. Now I have 10 of them. So.
Oh my gosh, 10 of them!
They're not all in the house. We have a kennel, and everybody gets some house time, but on a rotational basis. But we have some that live in the house, and some that live in the kennel.
Do you have horses too? I heard you mention horses.
I do. We kind of, as an adjunct to the greyhound thing, we began acquiring thoroughbred racehorses to teach them another career. We're active in eventing, and so what our routine became, we would get one or two at a time. We have a trainer rider who teaches them to jump, teaches dressage, and so forth, and then we compete them in eventing, give them a little bit of a competition record, and then sell them to a good home.
Wow.
Well, you're my kind of guy. That's what I like to do. I love to take the off-track thoroughbreds and then event them.
Same concept as greyhound adoption, except there is a little money involved, just usually enough to pay the expenses of the farm. But it's been a lot of fun, and we've really enjoyed – I enjoy the parallels a great deal between the greyhounds and the thoroughbreds. I find they're a lot alike in terms of their athletic ability, their talent, and so forth, intelligence.
Hey, and one of the funnest things, too, John, and I think you'll agree with this, one of the most fun things that happens when you own a greyhound is if you take them to a dog park sometime, you will always have people come up to you. It never fails. Will come up to you and say, my dog, and I don't care what breed they have, my dog is as fast as any greyhound. You should see my dog run. And I just chuckle. And then when the two take off, the greyhound, of course, is just doing circles around their dog. I don't care what breed it is. And it is just the funniest thing to watch, and it happens almost every time you bring your dog to the dog park.
Yeah, I've had the same thing happen myself, and it is fun to watch the look on their face. And I've actually challenged a few folks to put their money where their mouth is. So we had a little impromptu race, and I won $5 or something like that. So, yeah, that is fun.
Yeah, because you just know that their little run ain't going to come near 35-mile-an-hour greyhound. It's just not going to happen.
Try it.
Well, now, what is the best way? We're going to have to wrap here. What is the best way for somebody to find a greyhound to adopt? What's step number one, and what kind of research should they do?
Well, get on the Internet and say they lived in Chicago. Put in Google Greyhound Adoption Chicago, things like that. Or they can go to the Greyhound Project's website. Is Cindy there?
No.
Cindy Hansen with us?
Hmm.
I believe the website is www.adoptagreyhound.org. I believe that's the Greyhound Project's website. And they have a directory on there, a map, and you can click on the state you live in, and that will take you to a greyhound adoption group view. And then, that's the start of it. You definitely want to research it. There's plenty of reading material on the Internet. Most of groups have an adoption manual, and you definitely want to do your homework beforehand just to make sure that a greyhound is, the breed itself suits your lifestyle and your situation.
All right. That's terrific. Thank you so much, John, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And this is not helping Jennifer at all, because she's been resisting us getting another greyhound because ours died last year, getting another greyhound until like spring or, summer, because it's so cold here right now. And this is not helping. This is just making me want run right now.
You need to go out right now. Not just get one, but get two. They keep each other company beautifully.
I love it. Good idea.
Thank you, John, and good luck. Good luck with the kids, all four-legged kids.
Great. Thanks for having me.
See,
well,
I'm telling
John
you.
Park.
I'm just saying,
that was John
you
Parker
work
from Celebrating Greyhounds Magazine. quick, greyhound, greyhound, greyhound. I got to say, I was looking at the available greyhounds from Shamrock Greyhounds over here in Louisville this morning again. I didn't tell Jennifer. I was just secretly looking to see if the little girl I had my eye on was still there. She's still there.
Why have you not adopted this dog? I mean, you work from home. That's like me. We got two puppies because when is it another better time to have two puppies when I'm home all the time and can raise them and be with them? And you guys both work from home. I don't know how you don't have a dog. You got to do it. Walk them. It's good exercise. Glenn, have you been to the gym at all this week in the morning?
I was kind of busy, you know, getting ready for the show. We had a big show in Zenyatta. I had to do all that sound for, and then, I've been doing
Excuses. You haven't hit the gym once. And, Jennifer, I know you're egging me on to get him in the gym, but if he had a dog that he had to walk and jog every morning, he'd be outside. He'd be outside running around. So, do it.
I noticed Jennifer has Jennifer has gone silent and is probably on mute hiding from you at this very moment. Let's go to our song, and then we have another guest coming up. Her name is Chris Walkowitz. She's the author of Choosing a Dog for Dummies and Dog Show Judging, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Might be interesting to ask her about that, too. She's actually loves horses but has never owned one, but certainly knows a lot about dogs, has done a bunch of different books. And we're going to talk to her about choosing a breeder. There's so much talk about puppy mills and all that stuff. We want to find out from her, how do you choose a good breeder for your dog? And, you know, and Jamie's going to find out whether whether her husband actually did a good job choosing the one you got yours from. But first, I have a song that I think is absolutely appropriate for today. It's called Think Positive from Mary Ann Kennedy, No Tissues Needed. It's a fun song. Take a listen.
I guess that's the end of it. That's Mary Ann Kennedy. Think Positive. That's PAWSITIVE. So just an amazing show today, having such an interesting conversation about dogs and different breeds. And our next guest that's going to be coming up shortly is Chris Walkowitz, Miss Chris Walkowitz. She's the author of Choosing a Dog for Dummies and Dog Show Judging, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That totally will remind me of, what is the dog show movie? We're Best in Show.
Oh,
Best in
yes.
Show.
Best in Show, yes.
The dog show judging The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, be like like that movie. So we'll have her on in just a moment. But let's see, any more, Glenn, do we have any more news about the Greyhound thing? Because I think you guys have been talking some trash.
No, I think that conversation, we've had that conversation almost every day here, so...
I'm gonna let the listeners in behind the scenes a little bit here, because you did this to yourselves now. I said that, you know, you should get the dog because you haven't been going to the gym and you need to exercise it. And then what does Jennifer write? I'd be the one walking the dog. And I totally understand that, Jennifer. And then, Glenn, you're never supposed to say that to a woman, ever. Then he types, you need the exercise, too. I would go in that room and slap him, Jennifer. How dare he say something like that?
That's what I have a voice for.
Then why do I, am I the only one that needs the exercise? She needs exercise, too. Everybody needs exercise.
Oh, my God. You're digging your hole deeper, dude.
Just
stop.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get Beast, our cat. I'm going to get him a big pink harness and a pink leash. And I'm going to teach him to walk on a leash, and I'm going to make Glenn walk the cat in the neighborhood.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
I'm just saying. Hey, we do have our next guest on the line. It's Chris Walkowitz. And Chris, I'm sorry for the reference in Best in Show. I'd love to get your opinion on that movie. But she's the author of Choosing a Dog for Dummies. And, Chris, we just got two new puppies, so I'm interested to see what your perspective is on it and see if we did it the right way. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Thank you. How are you? Everything going okay? Where in the world are you right now?
I'm on the Illinois-Iowa border, and it's colder than heck here.
I was going to say it must be just freezing. How do you get outside with your dog now in that kind of weather?
Well, you have a great big fenced yard.
Yeah, I think that's the only solution.
Yeah. I love it. So you wrote a book called Choosing a Dog for Dummies. And
yes.
I'm interested to see, you began showing and breeding German Shepherds and Bearded Collies and lots of different kinds of dogs you have. I mean, I could go on and on about your resume. You guys, explain it. It says you and your husband, Ed, are the only breeders of the CHOTCHUDX Beardy. What on earth is that?
Well, this is a Beardy who's done a tremendous amount of winning in the breed ring and obedience and herding and agility.
Okay, so those initials are like kind of the resume, the championships that he's won.
Right. Right.
Okay, fantastic. You've got 75 performance titles. So obviously you know your stuff about dogs. So when going to select a dog, what is the first thing that you need to do?
The first thing I say is look at the mother of the litter. If you can live with that mother, then you can likely live with her puppy. Because, as you know, the fathers in the animal kingdom are seldom around. So the mother not only gives 50% of the genetic influence, she gives 100% of the environmental influence. So, for instance, if you go in to see a litter and the mother is shying in the corner, or if she's just extremely too rowdy, or if you're very active and she's inactive, then this is probably not the litter for you.
So basically, the baby daddies are never around, and it's all about the women.
That's right. That's right.
Those men, I swear, never around. They have all the fun, and then they leave. So obviously,
they're
the
just
mother
traveling
plays a very,
salesmen. Pardon me?
Those jerks. Those jerks.
Yeah. Hey, I am listening here. I am here. I'm listening.
You're married, you don't count. So then the mother is the first thing. What is the second thing that you want to look at? I mean, so let me just, I'm asking this because my husband and I just got two dogs, and we did a lot of breed research. Of course, we didn't get to meet the mother because she was on the opposite side of the country. But
right,
all of the stuff we
happens.
Read, do what?
That does happen. Of course, that's a problem then.
Yeah, and I mean, so many people that rescue dogs don't get to meet the mother. So what would you say would be another good suggestion?
Well, if we're talking about actually going to a breeder, the next thing you would look for is love, a true love of the breed. Does she talk to you while she rests her hand on the mother or another dog? Does she cuddle a puppy in her lap? I'm saying she because so many breeders are women. But look for noticeable objects of love, even things like knickknacks. Does she come to the door with a sweatshirt that says, "I love Pekingese," whatever, that kind of thing. So that would be the next thing. And then, of course, you want happy puppies, puppies that are friendly and outgoing and active, because if they aren't, they could be sickly, they could be wormy, they could have different problems. You want the house.
Okay.
You want
how
the
you
house
tell a puppy nil from a breeder?
Well, first of all, they aren't going to show you the mother. That is a definite.
Okay.
Cleanliness is a big thing. Do they have one or two breeds, or do they have 30 breeds? That would be a real tip off. The cleanliness, of course, with a litter of puppies, you're going to have a little bit of mess and a little bit of smell, but they shouldn't be filthy. I would never show a puppy to anyone that it's really dirty. So can you see the premises? A puppy miller isn't likely to allow you to go around their premises because you would see things you don't want to see. Will they give a guarantee? Guarantee is a big thing. Do they tell you if they've done all the health testing? Can they show you certificates showing that they're all health tested? And another thing is this person someone you want to have a dozen-year relationship with? Because that's about how long it's going to be. If you call them with a problem, are they going to be likely to help you?
Okay, so you pretty much keep in touch with the breeders throughout the dog's life, or is that what you recommend?
I recommend that, yes, because they are the most knowledgeable person of those puppies and of the breed. And I, as a breeder, keep in touch with everyone that I possibly can. Sometimes people are rude enough to move without notifying me. Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh, what?
Well, they're my babies for life. I feel I brought them into this world, and I feel responsible for them for the rest of their lives.
I got you. So when we researched our breeder, so many things that you're saying we definitely did, and I'm feeling quite proud of myself, but because we didn't read your book ahead of time. If I didn't know, and I would have gotten your book, Choosing the Right Dog for Dummies. But what we did was because so much of buying dogs now is online, and I've had no experience with buying dogs. Every one of mine has been a rescue, and so this was my husband's kind of venture and his idea. And so what we did was we looked at breeders across the country online. Everything is online. They ship the dogs to you. You never go out there. You never meet them. So what we did was we found a lot of people that had bought dogs from her before. And how happy were they? How excited were they? How much of a member of their family? And then also, there was this really cool thing about certification for the dog's hips. And that was all right. available online as well. So to find that you don't have a dog with hip dysplasia or they come genetically from very good dogs, anything else like that? Like if you're buying a dog online, any other things that people can do?
Well, the thing is you usually don't have the – that's usually the initial meeting, shall we call it, online. But I presume sometime during the time that you were waiting for your puppies to come that you had a telephone conversation.
And oh, absolutely. You can,
right. And you can read people on the phone as well as you can on in person sometimes. I think that you can find out if there's a guarantee. I'm sure that they will send you papers, contract, for instance, that gives a guarantee and a health guarantee, showing that they give you the option if anything ever happens to you or that so you can't keep the dog, that it would come back to her or that she would find a good home for it.
So, Chris, let me get a scenario. And this is a scenario I know actually happened to at least two people I talked to. I, in long time ago, worked for a pet supply company.
Mm-hmm.
You go to see some puppies. You're going to get a Labrador Retriever. You're looking at all the puppies, all piling around. They're all happy. The breeder suggests get little Flower here. Flower is the pick of the litter. And when Flower grows up, Flower is sufficient quality that you can breed her and make a lot of money. Is that a red flag or what?
Yeah, the making a lot of money is a red flag. The rest of it, not so much. As breeders, we spend 8 weeks with those puppies, a lot of time. So we probably know the litter better than you who wants to come in and pick your puppy in 8 minutes' time. So I would say go along with their advice. I usually gave my buyers an idea of a couple of different puppies that I felt would be best for them. But the red flag about the making a lot of money, yeah, you don't make money. A responsible breeder does not make money.
So that was scenario A. Now, scenario B was family comes in, looks at the puppies, all happy in the puppy area. The family chooses Dusty the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
The family loves Dusty the puppy. They've been there for 14 minutes. The breeder says, no, Dusty the puppy isn't the one for you. You really should get Peppermint over here. Now, how can a family who's going in to get a puppy know whether or not, because we don't know George the breeder from Adam, to that line of, is he suggesting I get Peppermint because he knows I'm an idiot and don't know anything about a puppy, and he wants to get Peppermint dumped off on me, or because he genuinely feels like Peppermint's the better choice? Because you have to, if you're going to trust the breeder to pick out your puppy for you, what are some questions I, as a prospective puppy purchaser, can ask that breeder so that I, as a not knowledgeable dog person, can say, okay, he does have my best interest at heart. What can I ask him about that puppy, Dusty versus Peppermint?
Well, as I said, that was the way I usually handled it. There might be a couple of different choices, but what we do is we arrange the puppies to go to homes that suit their personalities. For instance, if you jog 15 miles a day and you eventually want this puppy to grow up and jog with you also, you want one that's active, that's agile, that's very happy about doing that kind of activity. And then again, maybe you like to play bridge. You want to sit on the Davenport and knit, and you just want a dog that's going to cuddle up next to you. Well, maybe Dusty is wild and hairy and ready to go on a run all the time, and Peppermint is this calm little puppy that just is very loving and kisses your face, and that's what we spend the 8 weeks doing. We do, also, many of us do temperament testing, so you can ask, where your puppy landed on the temperament test to see if they even do it. You don't necessarily have to see the temperament test, but just knowing that they did such a thing is a big deal.
So it would behoove the prospective puppy purchaser to, and there's so much information available online. The AKC site has just tons of stuff. Find out what a personality or temperament testing is. Find out what it is, how it's done. So at least educate yourself to understand so that if you go to George the Breeder and you ask him about temperament testing and he feeds you a line of hot air, you know enough about temperament testing to know, he's just feeding me a line of hot air, and maybe this isn't the best place to be.
He says, I don't do that. I don't believe in that. Well, you know, sometimes puppies' personalities change, just like it humans do. But we really have been with these puppies for 8 weeks. We know what their personality is like. And so we like to steer you in the right direction because we want our buyers to be happy. If you aren't happy, that puppy isn't going to be happy. And then nobody ain't going to be happy.
Unhappy puppy, unhappy life.
Yeah, and that's funny because when we were looking for our puppies, you know, we live on a farm. We are very active people. The dog could be outside with us all day long. My husband's a runner. Like, they're going to be outside all the time. And the breeder, when we had to fill out a questionnaire of kind of our lifestyle, and she recommended 4 to 5 puppies that would be good for us. Then she told us about the other two that probably wouldn't fit in because, you know, they're not as active or they're a little bit more laid back. So I totally appreciated her knowledge and input because, like you're saying, they spent 8 weeks with them. You guys know a lot better than we do. Even though little, Cinderella over there has got the cute little face, we might need to go ahead and take, you know, Sleepy over there or whatever.
Right.
Whatever you need.
Right.
So,
what breed
Chris,
did you
I think
get?
This is, go ahead.
What breed did you get?
We ended up with the English Shepherd.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they're
good
not
for
AKC,
horse people.
They're...
There are several breeds that are good for horse people.
Yeah, they seem to kind of match our lifestyle, and I've always had border collies, so we needed something that's going to be kind of smart. And be able to figure stuff out. So that's the breed we went with, and we're very happy. What do you think is the best breed for horse people?
Oh, there are several that are. Just tossing them off the top of my head, I wouldn't say best breed, but there are several that get along well with them, especially the herding breeds, and, of course, the English Shepherd is. The German Shepherds are great. Dalmatians are great. They were actually bred for that purpose, to be companions to horses. The Australian Cattle Dog is great. There are many, many dogs that are great with horses. I'm not real sure that I would want to have a toy breed running around the stables by themselves because they could easily be stepped on by this 1,000-pound dog.
I had one of those. What was the breed that Jake was that we found out later what he was? Jennifer?
Is it Tibetan Spaniel,
Tibetan Terrier.
I think? Tibetan Terrier, maybe?
Or
little short thing, lots of hair. Yeah.
Oh, that thing would run around the barn. We'd let him loose, and he'd run in and out of the dog or horse's legs. He didn't care. He didn't care.
Well, there are always exceptions.
And, of course,
well,
Jack Russells are one of the most popular horse owner breeds. You know, Jack Russells are it in the horse world. Jack Russells and Corgis.
Yes. Yes, Corgis, too.
Yes.
You're correct.
They sure are. Like Aubrey Miller just posted on her Facebook page about her corgi, and they're little dogs. But man, I'm sorry, those are not toy kind of dogs. They're stocky, they're thick, they're aggressive, they're playful. You know, they're great dogs. And same with the Jack Russells. If you can train them, then to be good horse dogs, then you got a pretty good companion. But listen, we so enjoy. This has been so informative. We hope we can get you back on for the next dog show that we do and talk a little bit more to you about the different breeds that you prefer. So if you're not showing dogs anymore, you're judging dogs, what is the number one thing that you look for when you're judging a dog?
The first thing you look for, does it look like the breed? You want to be able to tell a Siberian Husky from an Alaskan Malamute. They're very similar in many ways, and of course they had the same purpose with different requirements. So you want to be able to tell that it is the breed that it is and that it looks like a good example. You want soundness. That means soundness in movement and soundness in mind. Those are the first things that I look for.
All right. Well, it's so similar to horses. The first thing we look for is soundness. That's fantastic. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being a part of Horses in the Morning. Again, we've kind of crowned it Dogs in the Morning today, as we've just had so many guests talking about dogs, and it's dog day here. So, Chris, where can people find more information about you, ask you questions, find your books, anything like that?
I have a website. It's too long to say, but if they Google my name, they will come up with it. Chris Walker.
Yeah, we have it too, Jamie. So we'll put it in our show notes for today's show at horsesinthemorning.com. Under today's show, we'll have a link to our website. So we have
okay,
it.
Great.
All right.
All right, Chris.
Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you for asking.
Wow, this has been a dog day. I want to clarify one thing, and that is, you know, we do recommend that you get dogs from shelters. You know, our two lifetime dogs, the ones Jennifer and I have talked about, have been mutts from a shelter. You know, they haven't been purebred dogs. So I don't want to think that that's what we're talking about exclusively today. You know, our two lifetime dogs came from the Humane Society. So I wanted to remind everybody of that, and I'll play out today's show with Who Saved Who for Marianne Kennedy, and Jamie can just turn it off because she cries every time. But I think that's the point we want to make, though, is that, you know, just like you rescue a horse, you rescue a dog, it's the same thing. But today, this half hour is brought to you by FeedXL. If you're not quite sure if you're feeding your horses correctly, if you want to find out that your horses are getting what they need, then go to feedxl.com. It will only take you a couple of minutes to fill in some information about your horse, to fill in some information about what you're feeding your horse, and that includes hay and grain and supplements, things like that. Take a look at FeedXL because they will print out a report. After you do that couple of minute questionnaire, they will print out a report that will show you, are you feeding too much of this? Are you feeding too little of that? It will go into great detail. It's amazing. It goes through the different vitamins they're getting based on the feeds that you input and the supplements that you input. Sometimes you'll find out that you're feeding too much of a supplement that's very expensive, and you can cut back on that. Or you'll need to add a little bit of a different supplement. That's what FeedXL does for you. It gives you the peace of mind to know that you're feeding your horse correctly. So stop on over to feedxl.com and find out if you're feeding your horse what he or she needs.
Hey,
well,
Glenn.
Well, that's.
I just wanted to make a comment. The other day, I was surfing around the internet and found somebody else who had a survey thing that you could type in information about your horses and what he ate, and they would make recommendations. And I've already done the FeedXL one for Beaker. And let me tell you, there's a difference. FeedXL, when they ask you a lot of questions, it probably takes 5 minutes to do it, but there's a lot of detailed questions there. And the one I found on an internet site asks some similar questions. It's not the same. If you've gone to other places and looked at their information and gone, oh, well, I did that with so-and-so and got some answers, I would strongly recommend go over and check out FeedXL because it's the real deal. They're not there to sell you supplements. They're not there to sell you horse feed. They're not there to sell you hay. They're there to sell you information. And I highly recommend it. As I said, I've gone to other places now because other people are getting on the bad wagon. The whole imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, there's other people now trying to get on that bandwagon. And I'm sorry, they just don't do it as well. Go to FeedXL.
Yeah, that's feedxl.com, and I'll tell you what, the reason they do it better is they've taken the time over the last couple of years to compile the ingredients of almost 3,000 different supplement products and feeds. So when you put in that you're feeding Purina this or whatever, they already know what all the different ingredients are in that, and that is what they use to do the calculations in your reports, and that's what makes it a little different. So it is a good company, and we recommend them. They're out of Australia. This was put together by a couple of doctors of equine nutrition, so they do know what they're talking about. Wow, what a show. I feel like going greyhound shopping after today.
I think you should. I totally think you should. But, you know, real quick, I just wanted to touch on the fact that we bought puppies from a breeder, because it was definitely not my idea to buy puppies from a breeder. Every other thing, you know, we have a basset hound that we rescued, and then our little border collie, Sheltie Mix, Brett, that we rescued. And I want to just say that my husband is awesome at helping out with the animals, but with two rescue dogs and three horses that were rescues, I think he's fulfilling his part, and he finally got to buy a dog. So I was
like,
you know,
that's not bad. They need homes too. They all need homes.
Exactly. The balance was definitely needed to be brought back into check. So all of our friends call our farm Rescue Farm. So I'm like, not anymore. Now we're just flyover farm. We're normal people now. We don't have crippled, blind, old, everything in the backyard anymore.
Well, I wanted to say, too, our Facebook report for the morning is I've asked people to post about their dogs, and they've started to do that. Aubrey posted, and Katie posted a picture of hers. Aubrey said something, too. This is funny. I liked hers. I'll just abbreviate it. She said you can find it at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. She says, enjoying the dog show. She has a Pembroke Corgi, who I consider the world's best barn dog. She travels from barn to barn with me. She helps me lead horses in and out all over the county and hangs out while I clean stalls. Understands fences even when the bottom board is a foot over her head, stays out of the pastures, loves to lick the ears of barn cats, learned all sorts of fun tricks easily, including spit it out if she tries to eat something not allowed, first time you ask. Knows cat food in a bowl is off limits. That's hard for a dog. That's hard. And the best of all, I like this, is she's self-cleaning. She grew up with cats and licks her paws clean every day. Never seen her with muddy feet. Now, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's Brett. That's my little dog. But, of course, the puppies right now are covered in mud. So which one is in my lap right now covered in mud? So which means I'm covered in mud. So good for Aubrey for having a self-cleaning cat dog. That's probably why you guys like it, because you like dogs that act like cats.
That's right. You know, there's a certain thing to be said for that. I don't know. Cindy said I have a
Bedlington Terrier.
I don't know what this Bedlington Terrier. Looks
yeah,
like
Bedlington.
A frou-frou dog, but he's
no,
all terrier.
No, they're cool looking. They look like sheep.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check those out. All right, good. Well, this has been fun. Thank you, Jennifer, for putting such a cool show together for today.
You're welcome.
Fantastic
and tomorrow,
job.
Jamie, tomorrow morning, first thing, we have some business to take care of here at the Horse Radio Network.
What?
We have some serious business. And I'm not kidding. We gained 125 fans in the last day, thanks to our terrific fans at Horses in the Morning promoting us. And we are up to 1,348. We have now passed the dressage show.
Woo-hoo!
And there's only one other show above us on the Horse Radio Network, and that's the Western Radio Show. They are at 1,377. And I'm telling you, I know our fans well enough to know that by tomorrow morning, we are going to have passed them, and we are going to be making some phone calls to some hosts of shows. So that is the first order of business on tomorrow's show.
Oh, my God. We got to trash talk. You know what? I'm a fan of those shows. I am going to go unfan myself from those shows to give us just one more.
Now, we don't recommend everybody does that. I kind of own them all.
Wait. Yeah,
I really
shouldn't do that. Shouldn't
yeah,
do
we
that.
Don't recommend
yeah, that's
that.
Fantastic. Just in case you were thinking of that, don't do it. So that's great. I want to talk to Alan tomorrow because, I'm sorry, there is nobody that likes to trash talk more than Alan of the Western Radio Show. So if we can pass him by tomorrow, he is going to hear it from me. And I'm going to bring it strong because the man, you know, he had this whole like, oh, we're better than the dressage people. We have more fans than the dressage show. But, you know, he didn't even consider horses in the morning as a challenge. And we're bringing it. And we're bringing it strong. And, Alan, you're going down. That's what I'm saying right now. It's now. So there.
Yes, he is. And I am fully confident that by tomorrow morning, we will have exceeded all of them. And it's all thanks to our fans. We have the most terrific fans, and we appreciate all of you posting on Facebook and joining us here every morning. And the other things on the agenda for tomorrow is we're going to be talking about jumping minis. Is that right, Jennifer? Jumping minis?
Yeah. Who knew? Show jumping for minis. Pretty cool.
Do they have riders?
Well, you'll just have to tune in tomorrow and see.
Okay, and then we have the Chronicle of the Horse will be with us like they are every Friday. So we have a fun show planned for, thank God, it's Friday tomorrow. Well, that's about it. I'm tired. I'm tired of talking already. Time to go to take a nap.
Well, I do have a special request. I know you're going to play Marianne Kennedy's a song about Who Saved Who, which is going to make me cry, and I don't want to hear that yet, but I do want everybody to hear the song that you played earlier this morning. I do believe it's the Puppy Poo song. Can you play that real quick?
Do you want Puppy Puppy Poo again?
Yeah, this is bizarre. I want everybody to tell me where this came from. This is weird.
Fuzzy puppy, funny puppy, 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 poo. Puppy, puppy, jello, puppy, tablestone, tomato, puppy, 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 fishy, puppy, puppy, clean up poo. I once had a doghouse. I lived in a lake. But I never saw the way the dragon slayed the cake. I was only 4 years old, but I told a lie. And now listen, little kid, and I'll tell you why. Did you ever see a puppy kiss a puppy, bite a puppy, poppy's puppy, muddy puppy, 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 poo? Half a puppy, twice a puppy, not a puppy, spotted puppy, driving puppy, angry puppy, 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 poo. Is it how it goes now? Isn't this that odd? Is it made of orange juice? Puppy, puppy, cod. Now my song is getting weird, so it's time to go. Hope you like my puppy song. Please say yes, not no.
No.
I like how at the end he says my song is getting weird. It was weird from the beginning.
I know. It was bizarre. Your puppy's made out of orange juice. Whatever, dude. Whatever. be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Follow us on Facebook at Horses in the Morning. We're also on Twitter at Horse Radio. I took your part, Glenn. Boom.
Yes, you did. And if you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website. Our affiliate websites are on iTunes. You can find it a bunch of places, so don't be afraid to stop by and listen to the recorded. I know a lot of you listen while you're riding or listen while you're doing the barn, and we appreciate that. No perfect, more perfect time to listen. We'll be back, as we said, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. And, well, say goodbye, Jamie.
Kiss your puppies and kiss your ponies today. Goodbye, everybody.
Looking for someone to call your own. Then right before your eyes, an open heart wants to be your home. Unwanted, unneeded, now there is love. Life is better when you share the see.